Welcome to When They Popped. Let's rewind to a simpler time together and dive deep into the music, movement, and mania behind our favorite Y2K celebrities and trends. Hosted by Kelsey and Mary, it's time for another episode of When They Popped.
Hello, and welcome to When They Popped. I'm Kelsey.
And I'm Mary.
And it's the holiday season. My voice is back, kind of, so I can't be stopped. I'm sorry. But it's the freaking season to talk about our favorite Y2K holiday songs. And as a bonus, since it is the season of giving anyways, and we love giving you our opinions, we're also going to be sharing some of our favorite live holiday performances on today's episode. But before we get into it, there's been so much freaking breaking Y2K news. We got to get into it. First things first, a love story for the ages. Nearly 20 years after their rumored romance began, Nelly and Ashanti, one name wonders, are expecting their first child together. Oh my God. Mary, did you like ship Nelly and Ashanti back in the day? I think she's one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen.
And talented. She is gorgeous and talented.
She can't be stopped. We don't want her to stop. We love her. So I did some background into Nelly and Ashanti because I didn't really remember them ever being like a fish. Hmm. So they were first linked in 2003. What a great year. What a great year. And they were allegedly on and off until 2013 for 10 years.
Wow.
But they never confirmed their relationship to the media. They never DTR'd in public to us plebs. And it's rumored that they broke up because of a quote unquote betrayal. In a 2015 interview on the Meredith Vieira show, LOL, what a throwback, Ashanti said, end quote, "I think sometimes when people have their own insecurities, it allows them to act out of character. I've been betrayed. You just have to grow. You have to grow up. You have to accept responsibility for the things that you do. I'm not a big fan of people being cowards."
End quote.
So according to Glamour, this betrayal was that Nelly wasn't ready to get married. But it sounds a little heated. I feel like there might have been something else going on, but I won't speculate.
Yes. I mean, is that a betrayal? I guess if he promised her he would and then said no.
Right. Strung her on for 10 years.
Yeah, that's true.
Remember that line from Sex and the City? "This is my friend and she's getting married and she's been seeing the man for 10 years. And then everyone in the restaurant claps. She wanted that moment and maybe now she'll get it because on September 12th of this year, flash forward another 10 years, Nelly appeared on The Shade Room and he was a little coy when people were asking him about Ashanti. He just said, "We're cool again." But later that same night, Ashanti walked the MTV VMAs red carpet holding a purse that had her and Nelly's faces on it, like from back in the day. How freaking cute. And she confirmed their relationship saying, "We're in a great place. I think it's pretty obvious. Yeah, we're together." Finally.
Nelly, if you hurt Ashanti, I am coming for you.
Yeah, we're freaking coming for you, Nelly. Don't do it again. So I was like, what could have brought them back together all these years later? And it was a versus battle between Fat Joe and Ja Rule. They both like attended and that's how they rekindled their Y2K romance.
That is the crew. I love that.
Fat Joe said, "Lean back." And Nelly and Ashanti said, "Lean in. Lean in to love."
I love that. Well, that is a heartwarming story to start off our episode. I'm going to continue our Y2K news for you to know with a little weird news. And that is how it just came out this last week that allegedly Jamie Spears had his leg amputated in the midst of all this news of Britney seemingly reuniting with her mom and brother for her birthday, her 42nd birthday, that I almost forgot and had a panic attack. I just like can't get over the headline that he had his leg amputated. I feel like that doesn't really happen that often. And I mean, I've got no sympathy for Jamie Spears, but just kind of crazy.
Yeah, we don't love
weird. Weird.
It's a weird news. I've seen so many funny memes about it, though. I try really hard not to laugh at them, but like knives dancing. Oh,
I saw a lawyer one and it was like, in the next court document, Brittany's going to be like, "Your Honor, my father has no leg to stand on." Like,
oh my God.
"My father has no leg to stand on with these claims." I was dying.
Oh my Lord. Anyways, some housekeeping before we dive into our holiday episode, our gift guide is live on our Instagram. If you like to shop, if there's someone in your life who hasn't graduated beyond the early 2000s like us, go ahead and tippity tap. It's on our highlights. We have some fun stocking stuffer ideas, some affordable finds, and some splurges. So definitely take a look through. Ignore the typos. My mom literally texted me. She hit me with a please fix because I made a typo in two of the stories.
Oh my God. I've done so many typos on our stories. So, and my mom would roast me if she had Instagrams.
I literally woke up to her text going, can you fix these? And I was like, oh my God. I was like, first of all, thank you for following.
Thanks for your support, fan Lilas.
Lilas. And as always, before we jump into our episode, quick disclaimer that we do not own or claim to own the rights to the songs or performances in this episode. The purpose of these clips is for commentary and critique.
All right. So this episode, we're talking about our favorite Christmas songs and performances. I'm leading off with one that should not be a surprise to anybody. It's time!
It's time!
The instant classic off Mariah Carey's fourth studio album, Merry Christmas. Yes, I'm talking about All I Want for Christmas Is You. Now, this song was written and produced by MC herself and Walter Afanasieff. I'm sorry I said that wrong. And just side note, Walter, he is a star in his own right. He's known for producing My Heart Will Go On.
My heart will go on and on.
Hero.
And you'll finally see the truth that a hero lies in you.
A Whole New World. And Beauty and the Beast.
Tale as old as time, song as old as rhyme, Beauty and the Beast.
So he had a lot of experience under his belt when he started working with Mariah for All I Want for Christmas Is You. And the song was released as the lead single from the album on October 29th, 1994. I mean, Kelsey and I were 3 years old. It's like crazy to step back and think about how long this song has been around.
It still feels so current.
I know. It just doesn't feel that old or like tired or anything. But
or are we just old? Does it feel like a throwback? Because like when I hear rocking around.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party, huh?
I'm like, wow, that is an old ass song. A great song, but it's freaking old.
I feel like the production in that song sounds old, though. It's like staticky almost. It's like,
did you know that she was 13 when she recorded that?
I recently learned that. I did
How
not.
How insane.
She sounds like a grown ass woman.
I know. It's insane.
But Kelsey, did you know that Mariah wrote this song? Because I had no idea.
That's new.
Crazy. Crazy. So how did this classic come into being? Let me tell you. So following the success of her 1993 album, Music Box, MC and her management at Columbia Records, including her then husband, Tommy Mottola, that we just talked about in our Cara DiGuardi episode, because he was the head of Sony Music Entertainment. They were married. It was the whole thing. But they were looking to see what was next for Mariah. And they talked about recording a Christmas album. But Mariah wasn't sure because she thought that, you know, you would record a Christmas album typically when your career was on the outs, like when you weren't making sales anymore. But Tommy really pushed for this. So Mariah and Walter began writing and composing songs for Merry Christmas. And this was in mid-1994. So Mariah went all out. She decorated her family home with Christmas decorations and tried to really get herself in the holiday spirit in an attempt to make her performance and the record more authentic. All I Want for Christmas Is You was recorded in August, and it took Mariah and Walter a total of 15 minutes to write and compose this masterpiece. Like, what? I also learned this fun fact. We hear all these like instruments and it sounds like that there's like this band playing, you know, orchestra in the song, but it's not the case. Walter composed all of that using his computer. Like,
Walter,
who knew you could do that in 94? My goodness.
Wait, that's so impressive.
I know. In an interview, Walter admitted he was at first puzzled and blanched, is the word, as to where Mariah wanted to take the melody and the vocal scales. But she was adamant, he said, in her direction for the song. She knew, okay? She knew she had a classic on her hands. And apparently there was a little drama between Mariah and Walter later on, as Mariah claimed in 2017 that she composed the song on her own. And Walter disputed this, saying she was responsible for the melodies and lyrics while he took charge of the music and chords. Interesting. But obviously, the song was a success when it first came out in 94. It reached number 6 on the Billboard Hot Adult Contemporary chart. And this advent of music streaming has led to such renewed success for this single, which now annually re-enters the charts worldwide and has reached number 1 in over 25 countries, which is crazy. The song has sold 16 million copies worldwide, making it one of the best-selling digital singles of all time. In 2023, it was selected by the Library of Congress for the inclusion in the National Recording Registry. That's pretty iconic. So finally, in 2019, it topped the Hot 100 for the first time in the United States. So 25 years later, and it got 45.6 million streams, and it reached the top spot after 35 cumulative weeks on the chart. So it had been on the chart already for 35 weeks and finally reached number 1 in 2019. But this made it the slowest climb to the top spot in the chart's history, surpassing the Macarena, which held the record in 96 for 33 weeks on the chart before it reached number 1.
So 35 cumulative weeks, does that mean over the course of the years since it's been released? Because I'm like, who's listening to Christmas music for 35 weeks in a row?
That's a good call. Yes, I didn't make that leap in my mind.
But still, it's just so interesting. Either way, I'm fascinated.
I am too. But with this song, Mariah extended her record of having the most number one songs for a solo artist on the Hot 100 with 19. She had 19 number one songs. And though it was released in 94, All I Want for Christmas Is You was the last number one single of the 2010s decade, as well as the first number one of the 2020s decade. And in doing so, Mariah became the first artist in history to top the chart in 4 separate decades, 90s, 2000s, 2010s, and 2020s. And it was the first Christmas song to hit number one since 1958, and the second one ever in history to do it. The first one was, get this, the Chipmunk song, Christmas Don't Be Late by David Seville and the Chipmunk.
Alvin!
That song slaps.
I had such a crush on Alvin.
You were an Alvin girly?
Of course, of course.
See, I had a soft spot for Theodore.
Oh,
I didn't want to date him, but like I wanted him to be my little brother, you know,
so
like I would take
cute.
Care of him.
He was precious. I love that movie. But as of December 2021, All I Want for Christmas Is You was certified diamond for selling 10 million units. It was the first holiday song ever to achieve this, making Mariah the second female artist in history to have both a diamond certified single and album. The other one is Taylor Swift.
Times People of the Year, by the way.
I know. She had a very interesting interview today.
Oh my God. The yes. Kim call out.
I know. And in 2021, All I Want for Christmas Is You was ranked as the number one greatest holiday 100 song of all time by Billboard. And I think that is a fitting title. So, due to the song's lasting impact, Mariah was deservedly dubbed the Queen of Christmas. And as of 2017, the song was reported to have earned $60 million in royalties. And The Economist reported that Queen MC makes $2.5 million per year from this song alone. And I just love this seemingly newfound tradition since 2018 or so, where Mariah posts a video like on November 1st doing, "It's time!" time. Like, oh my God, I just have that perpetually running through my head all Christmas season.
100%. I think because so many classic Christmas songs are kind of slower.
Yes.
Like, chestnuts. Like, this is a Christmas song for the girlies, you know?
It's a bop. It's a poppy bop for the gals. We know that Queen Mariah is go big or go home with everything that she does, and that includes the music videos for this song. And there are three, to be exact. The first, the primary video, was shot in the style of a home movie, and it was directed and filmed by Mariah. And we see her decorating a Christmas tree, you know, frolicking around snowy mountains. Her then-husband, Tommy, even made a cameo as Santa Claus. And there was an alternate video, and that was inspired by the Ronettes. And it was also directed by Mariah. It was filmed in black and white. She had this iconic teased-up hair, and she dances in this 1960s-influenced studio surrounded by go-go dancers. In 2019, she released two more videos for the song. One was done by the Joseph Kahn, entitled The Make My Wish Come True Edition. And then this one I don't really count, but it's a montage of celebrities. That was another video that was released in 2019 with Ryan Reynolds, Kim Kardashian, James Corden, all like lip syncing along to the song. Oh my God, so many videos. Now, with all good things comes some drama. In 2002, songwriter Andy Stone from Vince Vance and the Valiants filed a copyright lawsuit against Mariah, alleging that she exploited and made undeserved profits off of his song, also titled All I Want for Christmas Is You, which was written 5 years prior to the version we all know and love. What? Now, just a few months later, after filing the lawsuit, Stone dropped his lawsuit, only to refile it a year later. The case is still ongoing right now, and I had never heard this version, but honestly, I did not hear musically any similarities when I played it.
Santa can't bring me.
Also, Mary, like, why would he wait so long?
That's a good question. There might be a statute of limitations and he might be able to claim more the song makes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, he saw that stat that Mariah makes $2.5 million just laying in bed every December. That's literally the plot line of every holiday song ever.
That's what I was going to say. Like, while the music itself isn't similar, the concept, I can hear a similarity. It's just a very similar message and theme. But, like, I mean, that's like the Christmas vibe, right? It seems like a very loose basis for a lawsuit, in my opinion.
I trust your opinion. You're my lawyer.
Thank you. Yes, I am. What I think is so cool about this song, besides the beat, tenor, her vocals, basically everything, is that it's like a Mariah original. Like, so many holiday songs are remakes of older Christmas classics, and I'm not hating on that, but the fact that Mariah stormed this genre and legit topped it permanently with a brand new song is pretty noteworthy. My favorite part is obviously the beat drop. After she starts slow in the beginning, she's building us up. It's like the EDM bass drop before that even existed. You, and then we get that.
You.
Ugh, I love it so much.
Jingle bells.
Yes, that Walter created on his computer, for crying out loud. And then, of course, the final bridge. Oh my God, that's my favorite part. It just sounds so good. But Kelsey, what are your favorite parts or elements of this song?
I'm with you. The beginning, that beat drop, there's just freaking nothing like it. Just the, like, what? Oh, yeah. As soon as you hear that beginning, oh God. And we've all heard this song a million thousand times, but it really just doesn't get old.
No, it's something about it. Maybe it's because we only get it for like 2 months a year. You know, I don't know. But it really, I think, is special and has stood the test of time. And hey, Mariah is currently on her Merry Christmas One and All tour. And I actually saw a clip of her performing this song and she was hitting all the high notes and the whistles. Let me tell you, I was not happy to see she was not coming my way for a tour date. I think she was just in Boston last night.
Oh my God, I missed her.
I know. But that is the only way we could start off this Christmas musical celebration. Kelsey, what do you have next?
Well, to continue our Y2K Yuletide tidings, we have another, I would say, equally iconic to our generation, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays by NSYNC. This one is especially timely because the group just released a brand new animated music video for it, which is just so interesting given everything that NSYNC has had going on. Clearly, they're trying to keep up the momentum. It's really great that they're giving the fans something new. So Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays was released in November 1998 as the first and only single from their second studio album, Home for Christmas. How crazy that their second album was a Christmas album. Also, I think it's worth noting that this song was also released as a single in Germany. Sup, Germany. All of our German listeners, we love you. We know we saw you guys all over our Spotify Wrapped because NSYNC had a German seasonal album called The Winter Album.
Is it the same?
The Winter Album had a mix of some of their like US NSYNC debut songs. It was a wintry mix.
Okay.
Mary, have you seen their new music video?
LOL. Yes. And it's Christmas. I wanted more, but I feel like I'm going to get burned at the stake for saying that. I'm just happy they're putting out content as a group. We'll take what we can get, right? You know, I guess.
I've had it with the animated music videos. We'll talk about this when we get to Backstreet Boys, but like, what the frick?
I'll roast them too. It's not NSYNC.
No, I was pissed at that. Yeah. We'll get to that. But frankly, if I was an NSYNC, well, we're all NSYNC girlies here. Us NSYNC girlies, us boy band girlies, like, give us a little something new. Like, I would love to see Jay-Z in a Santa hat. Is that too much to ask?
No, it is not.
Jay-Z? JC? Hello?
You said Jay-Z.
I almost said Jay-Z. I just saw the Renaissance movie, so he's very top of mind for me right now. Which, by the way, if you haven't seen, I cried a couple different times. It is beautiful. It's very different from Taylor's movie in that I think Taylor just wanted to give us like her full concert experience for anyone who couldn't make it like me in person. Yes. Whereas Beyonce gives you that concert experience plus an amazing behind the scenes look at how the tour came to be, the meanings behind it, the inspiration that was infused to the outfits, the themes, her familial ties that really inspired the show. It was just so gorgeous and beautiful. And Beyonce doesn't do interviews, so this is like as much as we're going to hear her talk like ever. So highly recommend. Anyways, back to NSYNC. So this was also featured on the end credits of the 1998 Disney Christmas movie, I'll Be Home for Christmas, featuring Jonathan Taylor Thomas, who I was deeply, derangedly obsessed with. Simba himself. Jonathan Taylor Thomas is on the front of the DVD cover in a cute little Santa hat. Speaking of Santa hats and JC, JT and JC. Honestly, I don't remember anything about the movie except just having a huge crush on him. But great to see that this single got some extra publicity to us Disney girlies in there. I thought it was really interesting that this song was co-written by JC and Justin.
I love that.
But it looks like this is the only song on their Christmas album that any of the NSYNC guys helped to write, or at least that they have a writing credit on.
It's the best one. Iconic.
I know. Good for them. I'm so happy for them. It just goes to show their writing chops, and it makes me really annoyed when people try to say that boy bands don't write their own music. When they gave us this Yuletide bop. Let's talk about the music video, the original music video. So this was directed by Lionel C. Martin, who also directed their videos for You Drive Me Crazy. And oh. God must have spent a little more time on you. God must have spent a little more time on you. I'm glad you're laughing with You Drive Me Crazy because that is an unhinged music video. Everyone, pause, open YouTube, Google You Drive Me Crazy by NSYNC music video, and lol, it's insane. So all five members of NSYNC had creative input for the direction of the video. It starts with Santa looking sick in bed, and Gary Coleman from Different Strokes is there as an elf. And he's like, Santa, You can't be sick. Who's going to deliver the presents? Mm-hmm. How about NSYNC? And the guys are like, what you talking about, Gary?
What you talking about, Gary?
Because obviously that was Gary Coleman's catchphrase, what you talking about, Willis?
What you talking about, Willis?
Yes.
And then we see NSYNC doing what Santa couldn't do on that blessed night. Mm. They're delivering presents against a really bad green screen. So the video premiered on TRL in December of 1998. It became the band's third video to reach number one on the countdown. How exciting. So let's talk about the album. It went double platinum, wow, but it did not get great reviews. What I like about this is that there's only three covers of holiday classics. They have Oh Holy Night, which they do a cappella, and it's beautiful.
Oh, fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voices.
The First Noel. And the Christmas song.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. But the rest of them are all originals. And we get some really nice solo work from all five members. Personally, I really love The Only Gift because we get a Lance solo bass excellence.
Yeah.
Oh my God. He just like nails it. I'm also partial to the saxophone opening in All I Want Is You, in parentheses, This Christmas. And I just really appreciate that you get to hear everyone's voices on this album. Chris and Joey are really the ones taking turns singing the lead on a ton of these. Mary, do you have any faves from the album?
I do like their cover of the Christmas song, Love a Good Chestnuts Roasting. The vocals sound really good. Also, Under the Tree, I learned recently from Liana at This Must Be Popped, is like definitely like an undercover slutty Christmas song. I have some lyrics that I am going to read to you right now. It's funny that this is a Christmas song. It's like, that's what we've waited all day for. No one else but me and you. Nothing I would rather do than hold you all through the night under my tree. Bring along the mistletoe. Keep the music nice and low. I'll show you how good it could be. I wish that Santa could be here to see. It's beautiful under my tree.
Bring along the mistletoe. Keep the music nice and low. I'll show.
Okay, freaking, what do you call exhibitionist?
Yes, they want Santa there to watch. I was like, oh my goodness. But I thought that was funny.
That is hilarious. Something else that I found funny about this album is they have a song called It's Christmas.
Oh, it's Christmas.
And then they have another song called I Guess It's Christmas.
Guess it's Christmas time.
Indecisive.
You know, I love that they have a song for every mood. You're feeling kinky? You got one.
Sad, happy, unsure.
Yeah, it's a good one. And it's just so interesting that that was their second album. They're clearly trying to capitalize on the momentum of their first album, which is really exciting.
This next one I just had to talk about. I will advocate for this song till my dying day. And that is Britney Spears, My Only Wish, parentheses, this year, parentheses.
Underneath my Christmas tree.
Okay, so my boyfriend's ready to die on a hill that this is Britney's best song of all time. While I'm not quite willing to concede that, it is pretty damn good. And honestly, criminally underrated, to quote our hat in our merch store. It's upbeat, poppy, catchy, but still has kind of like a mellow, melancholy message. It has great vocal range for Britney to show us her natural voice, her natural register. And it has kind of a similar meaning to All I Want for Christmas Is You. Britney has been very good this year.
I have been so good this year.
And she wants her baby, baby.
I want my baby, baby.
I love how they say baby back in the day. They're always like, my baby. I don't know if that's a Swedish thing, but it's not because it's not a Swedish song. But I don't know. Just rambling my thoughts. Kels, what are your thoughts on this one?
Hey, I'm with Brad. I'm equally ready to die in this hole that this is Britney's best song of all time. I love My Only Wish. And we get a lot of like Britney audibles.
Oh, Santa. Like her little like riffs.
I got my little backseat with a kiss.
Her pronunciations, just it's like a ASMR for me. I love it.
For me, like I could listen to this song every day and not get sick of it. I love it.
Me too. I agree. It's one of her best. And it came out in 2000 on a Christmas compilation album called Platinum Christmas. It was written and produced, oh, here we go with names again, Brian Kierulf and Josh Swartz. And quick pivot, I looked up Brian and Josh, who seem to be like a writing duo. And they worked on some of our favorites from back in the day. Oh, Aaron.
Aaron, oh, Aaron, what are we going to do with you?
Aaron's Party. Yes, I Will by the Backstreet Boys.
Yes, I will.
By Britney. Lonely.
Ain't no way I'll be lonely. I don't wanna let you back in.
And Anticipating.
I'll be anticipating. This is a song they're playing.
Do I Have to Cry for You? Nick Carter.
Do I Have to Cry?
I Want to Be Bad, Willa Ford. Just to name a few. So no wonder this song was a bop and a half. This is yet another Christmas song that was recorded in the summer. Britney laid down the tracks in August of 2000. That is just such a mind bender for me. I really have to make an effort to get in the Christmas mood, I feel like.
Yeah, remember when Backstreet Boys did their album? I feel like I've seen like photos of people in the studio recording for Christmas songs in July, and they bring a tree in and the lights,
yes,
and they try really hard to feel the spirit.
I wish we could see like footage of Britney recording the song, and you know, if she put like a little Santa hat on or something. I don't know. I just wish we had footage from that. But this song received, you know, positive to mixed reviews from the critics back in the day. But now that we're 20 plus years since it's been released, this song has definitely become kind of a modern holiday classic. Once again, better late than never, people. But I 1000% remember listening to this song as a youth. So for once, I wasn't the problem because I was always into this song. My Only Wish this year's charted in multiple countries, mainly in Germany. What up, Germany? And on Billboard's holiday song charts, it peaked at number 7 and has since been certified gold. In 2021, the song was ranked as one of the best 100 Christmas songs of all time by Billboard. And in 2023, just this year, Forbes listed it as one of the most 15 iconic Christmas pop songs, which tracks. Meghan Trainor covered this song for her Christmas album, A Very Trainor Christmas, which makes sense as she continues to be managed by Lou Taylor, .. And I was unaware of this until now, but in October of 2023, so 2 months ago, Britney's team released a sped up and slowed down version of this song. Super weird. The slowed down one is particularly weird. She's like, I want my baby. Like, it's like,
I want my baby, baby.
What the fuck? It only has 3,000 views on her YouTube, and I understand why, because this makes no sense. They also released a karaoke version of the song, which is honestly necessary, and I will utilize any time of the year, so thankful to
have that. Makes sense.
But now my million-dollar question is, we know Britney's team had her doing any and everything back in 2000, so like, why the hell doesn't our queen have a Christmas album? Everyone was doing it by this time. And in 2000, she was the biggest star in the world. They like didn't even do a Christmas LP or, you know, do maybe a little mini Christmas release. I can't believe it. Larry Rudolph, what the hell?
She would have crushed Santa Baby.
Oh, don't even put that in my brain. Yes,
or I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus. And what if she did like an I Love Rock and Roll version of Rocking Around the Christmas Tree? She would nail it.
Oh my God, I know. The team continues to drop the ball.
They continue to disappoint us at every turn.
And it has not gotten any better, but...
But at least she wasn't like exploited more for our benefit, so it's fine.
That is a very good point. What's next?
So, you mentioned Platinum Christmas, which was a compilation of Christmas song CDs. So the song that I'm going to talk about next was on that CD, and that was the first time I heard it. It's Backstreet Boys' Christmas Time.
Christmas time, time to share our love. Come and join the tidings to the world.
So the first time I heard this song was on Platinum Christmas. I loved this CD. So this was like pre when you could like burn your own CDs. Like you would go out and buy other people's like compilations. Like it was basically like now that's what I call Christmas, but like off-brand, just Platinum Christmas. We had one of those like big sound systems where you could put in like multiple CDs at a time so you could have a party and not have to worry about like changing out the disc. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Those were the days.
It took up like half of the music room.
Yes,
like it was
yes.
huge. And I'm pretty sure that this CD never came out of that boombox because no matter what time of year it was just fun to listen to. It had Britney's song. It had Backstreet Boys, Christina Aguilera, NSYNC, Dido, Dave Matthews, TLC, Toni Braxton, and Whitney Houston. This CD was like everything that you would want for a Christmas party in the early 2000s. So this song came out in December of 1996, and it first premiered in Germany once again. How do Germans say hello?
Wiedertag.
Oh, guten. I was going to say Wieders.
I hope. Is it? I could be totally wrong. But.
Guten Tag, Germany, and a live TV performance. We love that. Coming out with a bang. And we finally got it in the U.S. a year later in 1997. Okay, Germany, like, I guess I'm happy for you, but why do you always get all the good stuff before us? So other than being on Platinum Christmas, this single was also included on the Christmas edition of Quit Playing Games With My Heart single and on a bonus disc included in some editions of Backstreet's Back album. I have a lot of questions. First of all, who received these special albums? Did anybody listening to this podcast right now get this song as a single? And where were all of these like special editions of Backstreet's Back that I don't know about? Also, what is the Christmas edition of Quit Playing Games With My Heart? Well, I did some Wikipedia stalking, so you don't have to. This is on Amazon, but there's nothing really Christmassy about it. I don't know why it's the Christmas edition. I was expecting there to be some like seasonally appropriate CD cover, like, I don't know, throw a jingle ball in there or a Santa hat, but it's just a normal evergreen looking CD cover. It has like each guy's face on it with like rainbow colors. And the CD includes Quit Playing Games, which according to one review, there are two versions of Quit Playing Games. Have you ever heard an alternate version of Quit Playing Games?
Never.
I feel like I unlocked like a new universe going through these Amazon reviews of this CD. So anyways, apparently, allegedly, there's two versions of Quit Playing Games With My Heart, Christmas Time, and then another song called Lay Down Beside Me.
If you lay down beside me.
Once again, what the fuck is that? Like, last week I didn't know Missing You in My Uber, and now I don't know Lay Down Beside Me. I feel like I don't even know who Backstreet Boys are anymore. Do you know that song?
I've never heard of it. So weird. I guess I am a fake fan.
Like, what the fuck is wrong with
Oh, God.
Honestly, though, it makes me happy that there's still things out there to discover, you know?
Yes.
It's the holiday season. I'm going to be positive. But back to Christmas time, because that's the reason for the season. Fun fact, Johnny Wright is credited as a co-writer.
Oh, love him.
Love him. So I love this song so much. I was simply delighted when they released their sequel to the song. It's called It's Christmas Time Again in 2012, 16 years later.
You know that Santa's back in town, town, town.
This song is iconic in its own right because it was the first song by BSB to feature Kevin Richardson's vocals since he left in 2006. So like, oh my God, 'tis the season of coming together, family, giving back. And boy, did they give back to us by getting back together, finally. So Nick and Howie co-wrote this song, and it's also the first song released under the Backstreet Boys' own label. We've talked about this a couple times. They formed their own label. It's called K-Bahn, K-B-A-H-N. Yes, that's a clunky-ass acronym for the first letters of their names. Why couldn't we have workshopped this a little bit more? So the Backstreet Boys publicly performed It's Christmas Time Again for the very first time at the taping of the Disney Parks Christmas Day Parade at Disneyland, which is cute because 16 years prior, they were at the same parade performing It's Christmas Time, their original Christmas song. What a full circle moment. So Billboard Mag claims that It's Christmas Time Again is even better than the original, which I feel like is kind of a rare thing, you know, for a sequel of a movie to be better than the original. Would you agree with that, Mary?
I agree. And I went back and re-listened to both today and confirm. I like the second version better, maybe because it's a little more upbeat. I don't know what it is.
It's definitely more upbeat and kind of fun. I like them both for different reasons. I feel like it's hard to compare them because to me, they're so different.
Yeah.
I'll always love the original just because it's so nostalgic for me, because I'm pretty sure I still believed in Santa the first time I heard that song. So it was like extra special.
That's so cute.
I think I believed in Santa for like a little too long.
Oh my God. How long?
Too long. I just didn't want to admit to myself that he wasn't real, because I thought if I didn't believe in him anymore, then I would stop getting presents.
I get that.
So this Disney Parks Christmas Day Parade, this is kind of wild because this parade is the reason that It's Christmas Time Again even exists. At this time, the Backstreet Boys had been working on their eighth studio album. It's mid-2012, and they really wanted to have something out before the end of the year, but they kept pushing back their release date of their next album. So they had to go back, tell the fans like, hey, this isn't coming until 2013 now. And Disney came calling and was like, hey, will you perform at the Christmas Day Parade? You can either one, sing Christmas Time, or two, do a cover of a classic. But the Backstreet Boys were like, how about we make up an option three and we write a new Christmas song instead, which would also be like a gift to their fans while they're waiting for our new album. These boys, they spoil us truly. And that's how It's Christmas Time Again was born.
What a cool story. I had no idea about that. And I literally count my blessings every damn day that I'm a Backstreet Boys fan and they haven't stopped giving us content and gifts. And hopefully they never will.
Hopefully they never will. Well, how many boy bands can say that they performed for the president? At least Backstreet Boys can, because in 2013, they performed It's Christmas Time Again in the annual Christmas in Washington TV special, which was attended by President Barack Obama and his family. And I only hope that Sasha and Malia like understood the gravity of the situation.
They're young. They were too young to understand.
They were young, but they were wise and they get it. Like,
I hope so.
They were too cool to not understand. My only gripe with this song, as we touched on earlier, is the music video. Why is it animated? Why do boy bands keep thinking we want animated music videos to their Christmas songs? Put on a hat and hold a jingle bell and sit on a sleigh. Jesus Christ.
Throw some snow at each other, you know, run around and laugh. But didn't they do another animation one, too, on this new Christmas album?
Yeah.
One of those is animated too, I thought. Christmas in New York, maybe, or...
Oh, no. Or maybe... I don't know. I'm confusing them all in my head. Because they all look the same. There's no defining qualities about them. So, great segue. Avi, we have to touch on the Backstreet Boys Christmas album. A Very Backstreet Christmas. First of all, no notes to the title. I love that title so much. Because you know who wants A Very Backstreet Christmas? Me.
We.
I love it so much. So this came out last year after we waited literally 100 million years. Backstreet Boys first announced they were working on a Christmas album in 2019, but it kept getting delayed in true Backstreet Boys fashion. You know, there's like girl math.
Yeah.
There's Backstreet Boys math. When they say we're getting an album, you have to add like 3 years onto it. So they started recording their Christmas album in the spring of 2021 when DNA was delayed due to the pandemic, their tour. And even though they'd finished recording the Christmas album in 2021, they missed the production deadline to have the album out in time for the holiday season. So it was pushed another year to 2022. It was worth waiting for. This album is so joyful. It showcases their beautiful vocals so perfectly. It's really everything that I would have wanted in a Christmas album from them. They worked with producer Tommy Brown on almost every track. For reference, he's worked on all six of Ariana Grande's studio albums. He's also worked with T-Pain, Black Eyed Peas. Everyone knows anyone. So let's talk about some of our standout favorites. Their cover of Last Christmas was the first single off the album, and it reached number one on the Billboard Adult Contemporary chart. How exciting for them.
Ooh, that is probably my favorite off the album. I know that's basic, but their blend is on fire. Shout out to my Nick girlies, Nick's verse on this. He's coming in strong for us. And I just love how they all seemingly have like a part in this. I can hear Kevin. I can hear Sweet D. Merry Christmas. I wrapped it up and sent it. With the note saying, I love you, I meant it. And I just love the synthy tones. The harmonies. It's just swoon worthy. It's perfect.
I feel like the whole thing is like that. Like it's like kind of, I don't know, like they're men now.
Oh, yes, they are.
They've been men for a while, but yes. I don't know. This one just made me feel like, wow, like this is so special. They have their own family tree. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just got all nostalgic over this one. I really like Happy Days. It's one of their new original songs on the album, which leads to my only critique of this album. I just wish there were more new songs. Personally, I just don't need another version of Walking in a Winter Wonderland again. You know, like how many of us had to sing that in chorus in like sixth grade? But I thought that Happy Days was fun, fresh, new, and it also has songwriting credits from all five of the boys. Also, in researching for today, I found that AJ, who just generally likes to say a lot of things to the press. I feel like he's the reason why we have a lot of unrealistic expectations because he tells us stuff before he's supposed to. But AJ told People magazine that Happy Days was inspired by Justin Timberlake's Can't Stop the Feeling. And Nick Carter confirmed this to People magazine. He said, quote, "It's funny because there's all this stuff about Backstreet versus NSYNC. But we're all about good songs and good movies. And Trolls was a movie we watched a lot with our kids. Justin wrote a really great song, and we wanted to write a happy, uplifting song that had the same feel, especially with the way the world is right now." Side note, COVID times. It was like, let's put some festive stuff out there. So we wrote Happy Days. While nothing brings people together like the holidays, even those torn apart by old, contrived boy band rivalries. Together was another original song that all five boys have writing credits for. I can't wait to win together. It's always so much better. Can't wait to celebrate. What do you think of that one?
I don't know. It's fine. I'm the opposite of you, Kels. I love hearing my faves takes on a classic, and it's very rare for me to like an original Christmas song. So like my only wish this year and All I Want for Christmas Is You are like two of the only original Christmas songs that I like.
Have you heard Carly Rae Jepsen's It's Not Christmas Until Somebody Cries?
No.
It is hilarious.
I'll look it up.
Oh my God, it's so funny. Also, Christmas Tree Farm by Taylor is a certified bop.
I don't.
Interesting. So you really lean into the nostalgia. See, yes. I feel like I listen to it so much. Like I need some new stuff to like bring into the mix. Otherwise, if it was up to me, Last Christmas is definitely my favorite. Yeah. It would just be all covers of Last Christmas and then Bruce Springsteen, Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one, too. But so, like, for me, I liked Winter Wonderland.
In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight for happy tonight. Walking in the winter wonderland.
Literally, your least favorite, probably. I just thought it was upbeat and well done. And I also like their I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Baby,
Kelly Clarkson has a good cover of that one as well.
Does the woman have a bad cover of anything? I don't think it exists. All right. So that's the end of my spiel. I did want to talk about some honorable mentions. This week, it's Hanukkah. And I always think of Adam Sandler's Hanukkah song, which first debuted on SNL in 1994.
Put on your yarmulke. It's time for Hanukkah.
I know it's more 90s than Y2K, but I just remember it playing on the radio growing up or on the holidays all the time. I like this song because it playfully touches on the experience of Jewish kids feeling a little alienated during the holiday season. And it gives us the most iconic line of any holiday song. Drink your gin and tonica and smoke your marijuana.
So drink your gin and tonica and smoke your marijuana.
I mean, what's better than that?
I mean, every woman that has ever worked with Adam Sandler says he's like the most amazing man in the world. And so I will support him in whatever he does.
I love that for you. I support him too. I love that he's married to his wife, Jackie, for like 30 years.
He just seems like a good person. I love it. Okay, I'm going to do an honorable mention too, and that's none other than Hilary Duff's debut album. Her debut album, Santa Claus Lane, that was released in 2002, eventually certified gold. This album is a mix of covers and original tracks and features duets with her sister Hailey Duff on Same Old Christmas.
It's the same.
Christina Milian on I Heard Santa on the Radio.
Hey, 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 and ho, 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 and now it's time for the Jolly DJ Show. I Heard Santa on the Radio. Yeah.
And Lil Romeo, Tell Me a Story. Oh, Y2K perfection. Covers included Wonderful Christmas Time. Last Christmas.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart. But the very next day, you gave it away.
And Jingle Ball Rock.
Jingle Ball Rock.
For some reason, I really appreciated her cover of Jingle Bell Rock back in the day. But now, I don't know, I was re-listening and it's so cheesy, but we stand.
It's a super cute one. I didn't know that this was her first album.
Isn't that crazy? She had released I Can't Wait, I think, and they were trying to kind of test how people would respond to her as a musical artist. And yeah, the rest is
right.
History.
Like, what does Radio Disney play in December? Like, it's probably all like covers by their
right?
stars. Also, that's like so fitting for her because the Christmas episode with Aaron Carter, Merry Christmas, Lizzie McGuire, is so iconic. We have a company holiday party next week. Ooh. And I bought silver pants and a red sweater so I can look just like her.
Oh my God. Can't wait.
Okay. So my second honorable mention is Jessica Simpson's I Saw Mommy Kiss and Say. Obviously, she doesn't wait.
If daddy don't listen, I may kiss some Santa Claus.
because literally, who could be better at covering this than Jessica Simpson?
Oh my God, I love her Christmas album in general. Her and Nick's rendition of Baby It's Cold Outside really did it for me.
Baby, it's cold outside.
She has such a great voice for Christmas song. This has always been a staple in my rotation. This is kind of probably weird or nerdy, but I love her cover of Oh Holy Night. And what child is this? It's just perfect for her voice, and she just knocks the entire album out of the park. The critics even gave Jess kudos for this album, and it peaked at number 16 on the Billboard Hot 200. Like, for a Christmas album, that's legit, and Jess deserved those accolades.
I agree with you. She has a perfect voice for Christmas. And that's kind of a great segue, because we promised we would touch on a couple of our favorite holiday live performances. And mine features, again, a one Jessica Simpson, specifically her and Ashley's rendition of Little Drummer Boy in 2004. I think Jessica, I'm with you. She has like a classic Christmas voice, but I love that Ashley took like her alt pop rock like twist on it. So you have like Jessica, like heavenly angel. So they told me.
And they told me. Ba-bum-bum.
And then you have Ashley going.
Like the rasp.
It's so iconic to me. Oh my God. I just loved it so much. This was a part of ABC's Nick and Jessica's Family Christmas Special. Nick and Jessica really killed it with the TV specials in the early 2000s. So The Cut, which is like a New York Magazine offshoot, I've talked about it a couple times. I read it every day. They have this recurring column called I Think About This A Lot. You may remember there's one dedicated to Kevin Richardson, which I read once a year just to refamiliarize myself with it because I agree with it so much. Highly recommend. But oftentimes they cover things that I also think about a lot. And funnily enough, this moment is one of them. So the writer took a way more negative stance on this performance than I would agree with, but they did describe Ashley's outfit pretty perfectly. They said, quote, Ashley is styled like a character from Rent if they were on good terms with their landlord. And Jessica is wearing what appears to be a wedding dress, but only from the waist up. I mean, that to me is just like the perfect description of 2004 fashion. The Rent reference. Oh, God. I just love it so much. This is when Ashley had her jet black hair. And Jessica, again, she looks like the angel that should be on top of the tree. And it's just hilarious.
We really see the contrast of their styles in this video. Like, and Ashley also has those like super long earrings that are very of the time, and they kind of look like dangly tinsel, very festive. It was just so funny. Jessica's like legit smizing with her eyes, like meow. And Ashley's just like performing. Like,
she looked nervous to me.
Yes. It was just like Jessica was being a little sex kitteny, and Ashley just was like trying to get through. I don't know.
No, I got that vibe too. I definitely got that. Like, Ashley was a little nervous. She tried to smile when she's like, I am a poor boy too. And I was like, oh God.
I know. But I will say the girls are seemingly singing live. They sound great together. And it makes me wish we got like more sister duets from them.
I agree. It was great. I just, God. I'll never be able to listen to it normally and not think of Ashley. I envision like a weeping willow. Like it has like that steep drop of, or like a firework when it
falls down, comes down. Yes. Very good. I like that. But okay, my turn. My performance is the iconic Ashley Tisdale's Last Christmas.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day, you gave it away.
This has been popping up everywhere on social media as like a meme, and I've been living for it. The captions are like, my family begging me not to be extra during Christmas karaoke. And it's like legit Ashley Tisdale serving, and she left no crumbs. She might as well have been performing Slave for You for a sold out crowd at Madison Square Garden. And she was not. She was performing a sad Christmas song at the 2007 Rockefeller Christmas tree lighting ceremony. But honestly, we are living for her energy and her confidence. This was her moment to shine, and shine she did. This song was the first single released by Ashley Tisdale in her deal with Warner Brothers Records and became her official first holiday single as well, 2-for-1 special. And I definitely used to listen to this one. Yeah. I did. And this performance is all time.
Honestly, every time this pops up on my newsfeed, I have to watch the whole thing in its entirety. Mm-hmm. Her outfit, her sass. Do you think she's definitely not singing live, right?
Honestly, can't tell if she's singing live, but it sounds a little too flawless for a live show. But who knows? No hate. The queen is slaying. But you mentioned her outfit. She's wearing this like sparkly blue mini dress over a sweater and leggings. Very of the times. We get like sexy kitten eyes, a power strut during the stage. She's like smiling and shooting eyes and looks at her bandmates. And we get like that slow hand pull up the leg, you know, show him what he's missing this Christmas, Ashley. And that she did. She did.
Listen, the rent was due. The rent was due. And Ashley gave the performance of a lifetime.
I love
when artists just perform like every performance is
a Super Bowl.
Madison Square Garden. Yes, yes, exactly. She was giving Sharpay.
Oh, that's how Sharpay would perform that song. So maybe she hadn't been able to break from the character, you know?
She went method.
Yes, like Austin and Elvis and Britney and Crossroads. Ashley was just stuck in Sharpay for a period of time there. But it's amazing. We literally love it. We mean it in the most positive way. It's so iconic.
We love all of these songs. And yes, we love you guys for listening.
Stay tuned next week for another Christmas-themed episode.
And rate us 5 stars on top of your tree.
Yes.
If you do, I promise I won't sing in next week's episode. How's that for an incentive?
Thank you guys so much for listening, and tune in next week for a new one. Bye. Bye.